be here today. I'm glad to see all of you and glad to be able to open the book of Isaiah with you. We're opening to the book of Isaiah chapter 5. These are exciting times to be living in. Some would say scary, and I suppose that they're just expressing the way they feel about it. There's always a certain amount of uncertainty as you look at the world today, because you know something's got to give. If something's going to happen, it has to. And I do know and believe that we are in the last days, and the Lord will come very, very soon. Now, as I begin to teach and preach His Word today, listen carefully, because there's a lot in this chapter that's going to pertain directly to what's going on right now. You see, what happened in Israel long ago, when they began to look around and lust after the nations round about them, and that put them in a backslidden condition, that same thing is happening all over again. If you look at the condition of the churches that want to be called Christian, remember how we studied previously how the people want the churches, remember it says the seven women, right, lay hold on one man. They say, we'll provide our own clothes, our own bread, we'll do it our way, but you better call us Christian. You can't do it your way, I can't do it my way, we've got to do it God's way. And then we'll be Christian. Because I've learned that. I've learned that the hard way. Most of what I know, I learned the hard way. I've stumbled around religiously for a long time, made a lot of mistakes. And I find that when I focus in on the Word of God, then everything is all right. Amen. And you'll be the same way. And it's been a long time. I've been preaching for many years. As I look back, I wonder, boy, where have I been? Do you ever feel that way? Do you ever look back in your life and say, where have I been? You know, what happened? It's because there is such a deceptive power in the world that, and there's so many ways to go, so many things to think about. In the last days, we are pressured with so much. So many threats, so many potential problems, money problems, family problems, whatever kind of problem. Problem of the month club, you know. It's nothing but trouble out there. But when we focus in on the Savior who promised to lead us through all this trouble, and if we quit looking to the right and to the left, but rather follow hard after Him, then we'll be all right. Then all these threats and all these things will come upon this world, and all the wickedness of the last days will rise up into a crescendo of evil, but you will be safe under the mighty hand of God. And you will find out that you must be spiritual. You will find out that you must believe in miracles. Not the nonsensical kind now that are fabricated out there, but the kind that come directly from heaven and you and everybody else knows it. Amen. And that's what's important to understand. Now, as we study Isaiah, I want you to watch carefully what's going on here, because this is so vital to our understanding. God tells us about a vineyard that He planted. Let's begin reading here in the first verse of chapter 5. We've already prayed for the service. I'm trusting that that prayer will now be effective with the giving of His Word. Let's begin. In chapter 5 of Isaiah, verse 1, "Now will I sing to my well-beloved a song of my beloved touching his vineyard. My well-beloved hath a vineyard in a very fruitful hill." This sounds like a strange beginning for the prophecy of Isaiah, doesn't it? He's still near the beginning of his prophecy. It's 66 chapters worth. But sounds like an unusual beginning. I will sing to my well-beloved a song. In other words, a song is something that is perpetuated. When you sing a song, it's meant to be sung over again and over again and over again. In other words, what you see here is applicable even to right now. It is a continual thing. The conditions are identical to the way they were back then. There's an old saying that history teaches us that men learn nothing from history. People generally don't learn from their mistakes. Did you know that? Oh, they'll say, oh yeah, we made mistakes, but they keep making the same ones over and over again, and some people wonder why.
I was reading in the paper this week, the Canadian government passed a law that the gays and
Oh, boy, am I glad you brought that up, because we're coming to that later. Amen. Yeah, Canada is a real, it's a real proving ground for evil, put it that way. And you see, what happens is generally the evil that takes place in our country starts in England, and it seems to go through Canada and then work its way south. In fact, did you know that in England there is a special school that's set up? It's a special organization that provides documentation for anything you want to prove. In other words, if Bill Clinton wants to prove a point, prove that something exists, what he does is he goes to this special think tank over there in England, and they have their researchers put together a package of evidence to prove that what he is about to say is true, so he has the documentation to back up what he's saying. He's saying, look, this has been proven in England. How many times do you ever hear something like that? But he lets them know in advance what he wants to prove, and then they bring it over here. Oh, we are in a mess. Do you realize the condition this country is in? Oh, this is the vineyard. This is a vineyard that was supposed to bring forth good fruit. Right? It was supposed to. But something happened along the way. Now let's look at the criticism of the Lord that he gives on the people of Israel in the Old Testament, with the understanding that what happened to them happened as ensamples to us upon whom the ends of the world are come. You believe that? That what we read in the Old Testament? That those should be examples to us? You know, the Bible tells us that in those exact words, doesn't it? Did you ever read that? Let me see if I can find it for you. Hold your page. I don't want to take very long on this because we've got a lot of material to cover here. And this gets quite exciting. All right. Some of you know where I'm going, I think. Some of you might be already there. This is a beat the pastor deal here. Okay, 1 Corinthians chapter 10. If you look at the situation in the Old Testament with God's people, in 1 Corinthians 10, there is a brief description given here. And it's 11 verses long. I'm going to go ahead and read it with as little comment as possible. 1 Corinthians 10, 1 says, "Moreover, brethren, I would not that ye should be ignorant how that all our fathers were under the cloud and all passed through the sea." They had that in common. Every one of them passed through the cloud and through the sea, through the Spirit, through the water. "And were all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea," Spirit and water, okay? "And did all eat the same spiritual meat, and did all drink the same spiritual drink. For they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ." So what is this? It's symbology here, but it's illustrating a point. That rock was Christ. It doesn't say Christ was a rock. Okay, there's a difference. Some people, I know a man who actually carries stones around in his pocket because he claims that the stones that he carries is Christ. Well, you know, I mean, there's all kinds out there. As I have taught and I've dealt with people, I've run into every kind of kook group there was. I don't know if I run into any new ones yet, but I think I've hit them all over the years, really. Anyway, verse 5. "But with many of them God was not well pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness." So what happens when you displease the Lord on a continual basis until time of grace runs out? There's an overthrow. That's what happened to Israel. "Now these things were our examples, to the intent we should not lust after evil things as they also lusted." When did Israel get in trouble? Well, when they started looking around at the other nations to see how much fun they were having and to see what they were missing. Pretty soon they started to say, "Show me what I'm missing. You know, I want to learn. I want to experience the thrill." I didn't quite say that right, did I? The thrill of sin, of what goes on around me. They wouldn't even think that way, except they started to look at it. and focus in on it. Nowadays, the illuminists have a wonderful little tool they can plant right in your living room to show you people committing adultery and cutting each other's throats and all this other stuff going on, violence and filthy jokes and all this stuff over and over and over, day and night, 24 hours a day. They can pipe that right into your living room and feed you with a spoon. Thanks to Marconi and a few other of the boys that put that thing together. But anyway, and I don't have to tell you what I'm talking about, do I? Okay. Neither be ye idolaters, it says in verse 7. As were some of them, as it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. There's an old saying, idleness is a devil's workshop. Doesn't have to be. Doesn't have to be. You can always find something to do with your time. You can always work for the Lord. Amen. Neither let us commit fornication. Of course, we know nobody today does that. I'm being facetious. As some of them committed and fell in one day 3,000 and 20,000. Hey, that's dangerous stuff. Fornication can kill you. Kill 23,000 in a single day. How many people don't give it a thought? They're just out there doing it anyway. No big deal. Everybody, you know, times have changed. Other people doing it, they're not dropping over dead. I think they're starting to. Time release judgment. Neither let us tempt Christ as some of them also tempted. That means to put him to the test. See how far you can push him. See how far you can push the Lord. How much you can get away with before he starts to crack down on you. Isn't that awful? There are those that think that way. And were destroyed of serpents. Neither murmur ye as some of them also murmured. That's a complain, complain, complain. Look for trouble. Look for complain. Look for pick this, pick that apart, and all that kind of stuff. And were destroyed of the destroyer. Now here's the verse we wanted to come to. Now all these things happened unto them for ensamples. And they are written for our admonition, for us. That's why they're written down. Upon whom the ends of the world are come. There you have it. All these things that happened back there are supposed to speak to us. They're supposed to tell us something. That if it happened to them, if 23,000 people could die from fornication in one day back then, people are going to die from it today. If God judged sin back then, he'll judge it today. Nothing has changed. People are fooling themselves. You see? And they've got the government endorsing it. The government endorsing sin, endorsing homosexuality. We've got church leaders, government leaders, all a part of this whole system. You know, I've got this little thing here I brought. Yesterday, a man sent me this. This came from England. And I have a lot of readers over there. This came from Liverpool, to be exact. A little suburb of Liverpool called Merseyside. And just a real wonderful correspondent over there that gets the newsletter, and he sends me material. We have a lot of readers from England. A lot of them from Ireland, Scotland, Australia, New Zealand. Just got a new one from Japan. He's all excited. He said, send me your newsletters. And he sent $20 in a envelope. Never been folded. I hope they're not counterfeit. Oh, who would counterfeit a $1 bill anyway? But anyway. So people from all over the world are sending things in. And here's a little thing that I just want to illustrate what's going on here. I was talking about fornication and wickedness in government. There's a little, I can make photocopies of this for you, but there's a little thing here I don't expect you to be able to see from there. But there is a symbol or a sign, a hand sign that's used. Did you ever see this one? You just make a little circle with your finger, like A-OK, you know, like that's all right. What you're doing there is if you got a, and by the way, this circle in, years ago when I used to be in a self-defense class and they started teaching us a little karate, and of course that's wicked, but, and if you have any background in that, just throw it overboard. But any, because the Lord will protect you. We used to have to sit in lotus position and make a little circle like that. And just meditate in lotus position. That little circle forms a six. You see that? And there's two tails after it, so you've got three sixes by holding up your hand that way. If I hold my hand that way, I'm making three sixes. See? All right? Here you've got a gigantic statue of the Buddha right here. And what's Buddha doing? Well, Buddha is making little circles like this. Three sixes on the statue, on his hands. You can see it. If you were closer, you would see it. Here you've got President George Herbert Walker Bush doing the same thing as Buddha. Here you've got Pope John Paul II doing the same thing as George Herbert Walker Bush and Buddha. Okay? Here you've got a advertisement for a personal computer, and he's doing the same thing. He's making the three-tailed comet, the 666 sign. Why is this stuff all over the place? Well, I think there's a universal spirit at work, don't you? And it's not a good one. Now, here's another little deal. This is the infamous picture of the Beatles holding up their yellow submarine. It's not yellow on here because it's a photocopy. You know, we all live in a yellow submarine, that kind of thing. Anyway, over here, now, I don't remember the Beatles. I can't associate the names with the faces. I was going to say the ugly one here, but then again, that wouldn't tell you anything. But who knows the Beatles by name and face? Anybody here? Sandy, would you come up here and identify these two for me? I want to get this on tape. Now, I know Ringo Starr is in the background, and I know this is John Lennon here with the goofy glasses, right? Who's this one?
This is Paul.
Paul.
That's George.
Thank you. Okay, so we got Paul McCartney. We got our resident expert here. Thank you, Sandy. So you got Paul McCartney here, and he is making the sign of the three sixes. Then on the other side, you've got, and this is no surprise, you've got John Lennon, the commie. And John Lennon is making this sign. You've seen that, haven't you? That's a sign of the horned hunter of the night, Satan. Okay, he's holding his fingers up there, making that sign. Strangely enough, well, here's Prince. You know who Prince is, that colored musician. Okay, he'd want to be called black. He's color. I don't know, whatever you want to call him. But anyway, he's holding up his hand like that. Now, by the way, you can't do that by accident. You have to form that sign by holding two fingers down, okay? Here at Clinton's inauguration, you got Bill Clinton doing the same thing. You got to purposely make that sign. To hold up those two fingers is a sign of the horns of Satan. And there's a little blurb under here, and I don't know if you realize this, but Bill Clinton, at his inaugural ceremony in January 1993, gave the sign of the horned devil, which I just showed you, to all his co-conspirators worldwide that everything was on course for the New World Order of the Antichrist. Meanwhile, now this is during the inauguration, hundreds of homosexuals were fornicating right out in the aisles, committing acts of homosexual fornication in the aisles at the inauguration while Billy Graham prayed God's blessing on the whole proceedings. You know, you got everything there. You got the whole works. The whole works. And of course, one of Bill Clinton's favorite groups was the Beatles. And he figures, well, isn't everybody, you know, aren't they the favorite everybody? No, I don't like them. Louis? Yeah, why didn't they show? Well, they can't show that. I mean, look what they were doing. Who wants to watch homosexuals fornicate anyway? No, I think that'd be an X-rated inauguration, wouldn't it? But could a preacher, a real man of God, now filled with the Holy Ghost, could you get up and ask God to bless that thing? If you had the Spirit of God in smallest measure, and I don't even know how to measure it, but if you had the Spirit of God, you would preach that thing down. You'd say, "All right, you filthy pigs, I'm not praying till you repent." And then you would turn to Bill Clinton and cast the devil out of him. But the problem is that Billy Graham's so full of devils that he couldn't cast them out of anybody. That's why I was talking to Ron here earlier, and he was telling me that, we're talking about Billy Graham a little bit. If Billy Graham had the Spirit of God, there would be signs following his preaching. There would be acts of God's Spirit. When the apostles preached, when they went out and did the will of God, when preachers go out and do the will of God and preach the Word of God, the Spirit of the Lord works with them, confirming the Word with signs following. There will be signs. Now, I don't believe people ought to follow signs, but I think signs ought to follow the true believer of God. You see? And we've got a lot of sign following going on. That's not right. But I'm talking about letting God do the work. Let the Lord do it. Don't try to drum it up. Don't try to make it happen. Let God do it. He will. If we'll just get out of the way, let Him take over. Now, what you've got here is a real example of what's wrong with our country. Of course, it makes a notation here that you can't make that sign accidentally. You have to purposely hold those two fingers down. So here, can you picture this? Here's Bill Clinton up there. Billy Graham's praying. Clinton's going like this. And they're fornicating out in the aisles. Hey, what happened to this country? Well, let's read on in Isaiah, and I think we will get the picture a little more. So the Lord said that in chapter 5, that He planted a vineyard. It says in verse 2, he fenced it, and gathered out the stones thereof, and planted it with the choicest vine, and built a tower in the midst of it. See, when the Lord does something, He does it well. It's perfect. When He made the world, He beheld it, and it was very good. And it goes on to say, and also made a wine press therein, and He looked that it should bring forth grapes, and it brought forth wild grapes. How can good vine, choicest vine, bring forth wild grapes? What an enigma. What a problem. What a puzzle. What a query. No, I haven't been reading a thesaurus. But how can this be? This is what God is saying. How can this be? Not that He wonders about anything, but He's asking that so we will wonder, so we will question. How could people become this way? And now, O inhabitants of Jerusalem and men of Judah, judge, I pray you, betwixt me and my vineyard. What does that mean? Some people go around blaming God for everything. Well, it's evil because He made it that way. It's His fault. Look at all, He's letting all this stuff go on and on. And they'll blame God. Let me tell you something. When God finished with the world, it was perfect. And then man came in and through a rebellious act and a continual series of rebellious acts brought evil and allowed a flood of wicked spirits to come into their realm and allow Satan to come into their realm, and then complain because there's injustice, and then complain because things aren't fair. They say, well, it isn't fair, you know, because our ancestors going way back yonder did that. Why should I suffer for it? Well, how about people that have a, they tell you things are hereditary, don't they? Maybe your, father or mother had a defect of some kind and passed on to you. I mean, that happens. What are you going to do about it? This world is so temporary anyway. No matter what the situation is or what the problem or complaint is, if you serve God, it'll all work out. You can make the best of any situation. You can be blessed in any situation. You can be blessed of God in poverty. And He won't leave you down there. He'll pick you up and He'll help you out. Amen. I was talking to my brother who was Years ago, he told me this. There was a man in the church that he was going to that was had lost his job, didn't have any money, and he was able to pay his rent, but he hardly had anything to eat, and he didn't tell anybody. Nobody knew it. You know, a lot of times people say, oh, what am I going to do, and make a big issue out of it. He didn't tell anybody because he wanted to see what the Lord would do. And every week, somebody would invite this guy out to supper, you know, or home to dinner or whatever. And he was always, people would give him things, you know. And he was always, without complaining, he was always provided for. Just to see what the Lord would do. You see? Sometimes we want to run over to the quickest relief station or apply for this or apply for that, whatever. But the Lord is able to work miracles through his people. Amen. And really, there's nothing will pick you up better than a miracle. Do you realize how much faith comes from those things that God does? You get to the point where you could believe him for anything. And that's the point we need to be at. Oh, hallelujah. Now let's read on. Watch what happens here. So he says, judge betwixt me and my vineyard. Whose fault is it, is what he's saying. Where's the fault at? What could have been done more to my vineyard that I have not done in it? Wherefore, when I looked at it, looked that it should bring forth grapes, brought it forth wild grapes? Something came wrong, or went wrong rather, with the bringing forth part of it. Something happened. And now, go to, I will tell you what I will do to my vineyard. I will take away the hedge thereof, and it shall be eaten up, and break down the wall thereof, and it shall be trodden down, and I will lay it waste. It shall not be pruned, nor digged, but there shall come up briars and thorns. I will also command the clouds that they rain no rain upon it. For the vineyard of the Lord of hosts is the house of Israel, and the men of Judah his pleasant plant. And he looked for judgment, but behold, oppression. For righteousness, but behold, a cry. So the people of Israel who lived over in that land at one time, I said they lived over in that land at one time, when that land was flowing with milk and honey. Remember, the fruit of it was so great they couldn't carry it? The spies went over and they could hardly carry the fruit. It was a fruitful, bountiful, plentiful land. Now it's a desert. Now it's a sandbox. Now they've got to irrigate to grow any little thing. Because it is a God-forsaken land. And what does the world call it? What does the church world call that land? The Holy Land. Huh? You talk about getting something backwards. And that's just the way it is with the world. They're not a little off. They're 180 degrees diametrically opposite to the truth. Amen. All right, now, let's continue on. Watch what happens here. Here is the criticism. Here's how it got that way. Now, bear in mind, not just Israel over there long ago. But what about our nation? What about this so-called Christian nation? Who would believe it? Gangs running in the streets, prayer banned in school. Oh, Christian nation, huh? Got mit uns? Well, he's with his people, but he's not with the wicked, the flow of the wicked spirit of Antichrist that has gathered together and captivated the vast, vast, vast majority of this nation. And that which was once blessed is now being cursed. Is this lovely weather we've been having? Nothing's growing. Big fires up in Alaska. Oh, by the way, remember that map of the biosphere reserves that I handed out, the UN biosphere? Every place those biosphere reserves are, you've got trouble. You've got fires burning, you've got drought going on, you've got one kind of a problem or another, but there's something wrong throughout. Up in Alaska, hundreds of homes have burned down. Everything is dry as powder. just waiting for sparks to fly and everything will be burning up. One woman described 60-foot flames coming at her home. She stood there crying because she couldn't do anything. And nobody could help her. And everything's lost. Just remember last summer, Long Island in New York, the vast fires. They said it was raining fire and ashes, flaming ashes falling from the sky. Shouldn't that tell people something? I mean, to quote an old expression, you ain't seen nothing yet. And the result of sin is judgment every time. Now, here is what caused the problem before, and here is what is causing it now. Verse 8, "Woe unto them that join house to house, that lay field to field, till there be no place, that they may be placed alone in the midst of the earth." That verse is talking about one world government. Lay house to house, field to field, put it all together in one unifying structure, a one world government. And what does God say about the one world government? Woe unto them! You know, a lot of people years ago joined the John Birch Society. Did you ever hear of the John Birch Society? Robert Welch made the statement, I think this is rather profound. You would, from reading his material, you'd think he would be absolutely opposed to one world government. But what he stated was, he said one world government would not work because of communism. But if you got rid of communism, then a one world government could work. White man speak with forked tongue. Huh? Robert Welch was also a very high Freemason. I was invited many times to join the John Birch Society. I met a representative of them in Watertown at a restaurant. They're not very fancy. We met at Ponderosa. But they were after me to join. And once I blew the whistle on, of course, this goes back a number of years when Robert Welch was still living, and he was a Freemason, this guy got a little agitated. Because they're playing both sides of every street, just like the communists do. And you see what happens when you join organizations like that. You get together under one big umbrella. They've got a list. The government has a list. Another thing you've got to watch out for is some of the tax protest meetings that take place. Where they'll have, they'll call this, all these people together, and they'll start giving them all this advice. And you've got IRS agents running around the parking lot writing down license numbers for a guaranteed audit. And boy, are they ever good at finding misplaced commas. My advice to anybody and everybody is don't join anything. Nothing. Nothing. See, this is a very, very unusual congregation here because nobody's a member here. We have no members. People gather and worship the Lord, and when we're through, they go home. Everybody is an organization of one. Amen. See, that's the way it ought to be. There is no membership list. I had a phone call one time where this, you'll like this. This real sweet sounding woman on the other end, you know? One of these hi there type things. I am representing a company that does church directories. If you will send us the name, address, phone number, and photograph of everybody in the congregation, we will publish free, at no charge, a directory for all of your people, for when they want to call each other and so forth. I said, I saw what you did and I know who you are. Click. Huh? What kind of a fool do they think you and I are? How can anybody publish something like that absolutely free? See, they want your names, your addresses, your phone numbers, your pictures, and all this stuff. Not that they couldn't get it, but it's a lot quicker if they can just get somebody to send it in. Oh, boy. There's no free lunch, is there? Somebody's got to pay for that printing, for making that book. No, sir. Anyway, here the Lord is saying, woe unto them. That's his criticism of one world government. Woe is a curse. It's the opposite of blessing. In other words, to be placed alone in the midst of the earth, to have a one world government. That's been the objective. A lot of people have talked about it. Remember, George Bush was a big one worlder. Remember his criticism during the Gulf War there? He was talking about Jordan. He said, if Jordan will cooperate, they can be a part of our one world government and our new world order. He came right out and said it. Where were people? Why can't people? They don't have a clue, do they? They don't know what paragraph or page they're on. The Lord said, watch and pray. There's going to be plenty to pray about and plenty to watch for and plenty to see if you will watch. And all of these are signs we need to pray and to broadcast these things far and wide. The Lord goes on and says, in mine ears, said the Lord of hosts, of a truth, many houses shall be desolate, even great and fair, without inhabitant. Yea, 10 acres of vineyard shall yield one bath, and the seed of an homer shall yield an ephah. In other words, you're going to reap from a whole field less than what you planted. The crops don't look good right now. The winter wheat was in terrible shape, I do understand. I've heard a lot of farmers complain about it. Things aren't growing well right now. According to the government themselves, they said if we don't have a real massive bumper crop this fall, we're in trouble because the storehouses are down. Everything's going up. They are, I got one report that was sent to me where a lot of cattle that are pregnant are being sent off because of the shortages that are going on, the projected shortages, the feed shortages, the prices, and so forth, all going up. Milk prices are going to rise drastically, according to the Wisconsin state government. So there's a lot of stuff happening, and I can see why, can't you? Yeah, it has come to this. It has come to this. Pray for rain. Huh? When all else fails, read the instructions, right? Just unbelievable. They should have been praying a long time ago. I think what it should say is repent for rain. You get these reprobates out there running around sinning wholesale, multiplying sin upon sin upon sin, and then they want some water to fall from the sky. Well, we'll take a little time off from our fornicating, drunken, drug orgy here, and we'll just come over, we'll pray for rain for a while, and then, huh? So it says, the Lord said, and I'm going to back up a verse there, in mine ears, this is verse 9, said the Lord of hosts, of a truth, many houses shall be desolate, even great and fair without inhabitant. You know, I thought of that when I was in a boat. My wife and I were out in, we'd gone to New Haven, Connecticut, and we had a little time on our hands because I didn't have to be in class. I was there in state business with the university. And I had to be in New Haven Monday, but we flew in on Saturday, so I rented a car and we drove up to Massachusetts. I thought, let's go and check out Kennedy Land. So we drove up all the way through Rhode Island, Connecticut, Rhode Island, up into Massachusetts and out to the Cape. Beautiful area, just beautiful. Up on the Cape and up to Hyannis, and we stayed in I rented a motel room there. And the next day, Sunday, we went to Hyannisport and we got on a ferry to go to Nantucket Island. So we're out on the ocean, and that was an experience. That water is salty, and those waves really come over the top of you, too, sometimes. We got wet. But we're going out there, and I was looking for the Kennedy compound, as they call it. Big, huge mansion. They live right next to the guy who owns the Motel 6 chain. You know, we'll leave the light on for you. We were out there sailing along near Hyannisport, and the captain of the ship pointed out, this is the Kennedy compound over here. And I looked, and here was this huge structure. And it was a mansion. Joseph Kennedy, of course, Rose Kennedy recently died, I think a little over a year ago. And the place is basically empty. It's a huge mansion, but who's living there? Some servants, caretakers? I mean, a family is defunct. Of course, they always have been. And you've got, you've got Teddy Kennedy left, that great bastion of morality that ran the car off there over by Chappaquiddick and killed the fornicating date that he had and make sure she couldn't talk. And then he ran around looking for a neck brace. It's really something with these Kennedys. Every time anything goes wrong, they run around looking for a neck brace so they can look injured. Oh, I tried, but they got me. This kind of thing. But you look at that huge mansion, and it's empty. What did the Lord say here? That there would be many houses, great and fair, without inhabitant, desolate. We went down to Asheville, North Carolina, flew into Charlotte and drove over across the state and into Asheville. We got to Asheville, we went into that big, huge mansion, which is the Illuminati headquarters of the world. Biltmore, that was put up by the Vanderbilts. And you go in there, it's a museum pretty much now. There's no family living there anymore. A lot of ornate things. There's one ceiling in one room that was imported the whole ceiling from a castle in England. And all this elaborate gold and glitter and hangings and tapestries on the walls went into one room called the Assemblage of the Gods. And there were all the principalities, all these wicked spirits woven into the tapestries hanging on the wall. See, in witchcraft, they teach that time itself is woven into a tapestry. Remember that, what was that? Hazy Shade of Winter. Remember that song? Paul Simon? Weaving time in a tapestry. See, that's witchcraft doctrine. They know what they're singing about. That hazy shade of winter. But anyway, we went through that mansion, and it really hit me. This place is just a big mausoleum. Once there were, it was bustling with servants, and the bakery was operating. They showed us the kitchen. They had their own bakery there. The big laundry room, the big indoor swimming pool. Back in the 1900s, early 1900s rather, is what I want to say. Turn of the century stuff. Nobody had indoor swimming pools then, but they did. Oh, this place was just elaborate, but without inhabitant. Nobody really living there, just people walking through. And that scripture really hit me. That's only the beginning. Of course, I got one of the guides real flustered. You know, I said, what goes on here at night? You've got a closing time. What happens at night? Oh, we shut it down. Nothing happens here at night. Well, what about the people who were flying over here that saw the long processions of cars, Rolls Royces and Mercedes and limousines driving down from Brevard and coming in procession in here late at night, you know, in the middle of the night and near the witching hour, midnight, and all these people with their ermine capes and their fancy clothes and top hats all going in here to hold some kind of a mysterious meeting. What about that? Well, I started asking some questions and this guy disappeared. I was a good boy. I had a camera and didn't take any pictures inside. They don't let you take pictures. And more than half of the rooms are sealed off. How come? What's behind the oaken doors? Huh? But nevertheless, what I'm trying to say is those mansions are desolate. That particular one is used for these secret meetings. Every year, once a year in particular, they all gather there. All the Rothschilds and The English Illuminists, the French Illuminists, the people from all over the world, they all come in. The CFR, Trilaterals, they all meet at Biltmore. Because that's holy ground. That's in Pisgah National Forest. That's that area that's sacred to them. You see, when old man Vanderbilt was up there with his wife one time, she said, "This is the most beautiful area in the whole world." He said, "I'll buy it for you." And he went out and he bought as far as the eye could see. He bought everything and gave it to his, and built that mansion as a birthday present to his wife. It's quite a birthday present. Took, what, 5,000 man years to build that? Something like that. Just an incredible place. I walked through it as far as they let me go. Now, being a locksmith, oh, I'm telling you, I had to restrain myself because those locks are pickable. And I got 30 years' experience at picking locks. They tell me I'm not bad. And I would love to have tried to ply my trade on some of those Biltmore locks, because what was behind the oaken door? Oh, boy, that would have been worth snapping a picture for. If they're going to arrest you for picking a lock, you might as well get a photograph, too. I want to go back. Anyway, my wife just moaned. Desolate places. Now, the Lord goes on in verse 11. He says, "Woe unto them that rise up early in the morning, that they may follow strong drink, that continue until the night, till wine inflame them." Is that a problem in our country? People drink from morning to... I went out for a walk the other morning, a little 3-mile walk. I like to get a little exercise. And I walked past this bar over here on Spring Street, right up where Green Giant used to be. There's a bunch of buildings there, should have been condemned long ago. It was 8 o'clock, and it wasn't even 8 o'clock. It was about 7:45 in the morning. And the people in the bar door was wide open, they're in there pouring the suds down already. Early in the morning till late at night, and they come out of there feeling single, seeing double, and go home with somebody they don't even know. And this is not some isolated once in a while thing. It's a way of life with so many people. They get their paycheck and they figure, "I owe it to myself to drink till I puke." Huh? I owe myself that wonderful blessing. Huh? Drink and guzzle it down until my stomach soaks up, my liver is so dried up, and everything is all messed up inside of me, then I can go home and I can hug the toilet, my friend, and lose it all right there. Relief is only a flush away. Huh? Oh, the lifestyle some people live. Yeah. When I was in German class in their Hochschule, in high school, we learned some of these old drinking songs, and it made me think of that one, you know, in München steht ein Hofbrauhaus, ein, zwei, Salfa. Remember that? Anybody ever hear that one? Da hat schon manche braven Mann, und so weit was er so vertragen kann, schon früh am Morgen fing er an, und spät am Abend kam heraus, so schön ist im Hofbrauhaus. Dieter knows what I'm singing, or saying. I didn't sing it, but he understands it. Schon früh am Morgen fing an. Early in the morning we start in, huh? Und spät am Abend kam heraus. So schön ist im Hofbrauhaus. So wonderful in the Hofbrauhaus, we start early in the morning, we don't come out till late in the evening. Ein, zwei, Salfa, yeah? Oh, boy. Anyway, I remember that. Made me think of that right away. Till wine inflame them. Of course, the Germans always believed that in every bottle of wine, there's a beautiful woman. See? What's meant by that now is you drink enough of those bottles of wine, and pretty soon you find one. And she isn't necessarily beautiful, but you can't tell. Huh? Die Gedanken sind frei, wer kann sie erraten? Sie fliehen vorbei am nächtlichen Schatten. Kein Mensch kann sie wissen, kein Jäger erschießen mit Pulver und Blei. Die Gedanken sind frei. Thoughts are free. Huh? Thoughts are free. Ich setz nicht alleine bei meinem Glas Weiner mein Mädchen dabei, die Gedanken sind frei. Yeah. That's, well, what can I say? But it's all, the scripture tells of it all, doesn't it? Isn't this what happens to people? And you wonder sometimes these old drunks, they're walking around with the ugliest of women. And it's because they're drunk. The wine has inflamed them. They would have to be. You might say, that's not fair. There's some ugly men out there too. Granted. All right. Now we're equal. Verse 12. You don't want equal time, do you, for each one? I don't have to carry a stopwatch. And the harp and the vial and the tabret and the pipe and the wine are in their feasts, but they regard not the work of the Lord. They got music. They got joy. At least they think they do. They're singing and dancing and carrying on and carousing around, doing all kinds of stuff. They never think about God. He doesn't fit in there, of course. Neither consider the operation of his hands, both good or bad. The operation of the Lord's hands can be a blessing or they can bring judgment. But they don't think of any of that. It's now. Now is the time to be happy as far as they're concerned. Eat, drink, and be merry. Tomorrow we die. So live it up. You can always live it down later. That's their feeling. Therefore, my people are gone into captivity because they have no knowledge. Why do they have no knowledge? It's been kept from them. If every church building sitting up there on these hills and all over the place and all around about, if every church had a preacher in it that was preaching the truth and what the Bible really is saying, and not try to dumb people down, but fill them with knowledge, give them things to know, help them to understand. If everyone were doing its job, it'd be a different situation, wouldn't it? But they are corrals of ignorance. Gather them together and keep them stupid, and keep them stupid, and keep them stupid, and don't tell them anything. And let your church be U.S. government approved, ATF approved. Hey, speaking of that, we got this thing going on now down in the southern part of the country. 80 black churches have been burned down. So who does Hillary send out to investigate the burning of the black churches? The ATF. Probably the ones that struck the match. What does Elliot Ness have to do with the churches? I say Elliot Ness. You know that the ATF, which is a branch of the Department of the Treasury whose badge number is 666. Shouldn't that tell you something? I've seen it, haven't you, on their badge? 666. That is the number of the beast. So says this book. That organization was started to enforce the 18th Amendment, prohibition. Remember when they passed that prohibition? Nobody could make or sell any alcoholic beverages at all. There was only one person in the United States that had a special license to import all he wanted, a man by the name of Joseph Kennedy. And to this day, the Kennedy family makes 5% on every bottle of liquor sold in this country. 5% of every bottle of liquor to this day. There was a little agreement he had with the government. He did them a few favors, you know. And, of course, they did him some favors. Boy, oh boy, where are people? When will they wake up? But the ATF was formed to enforce the 18th Amendment. And Elliot Ness and his untouchables and these boys went out, particularly in Chicago, to run down Al Capone and all these others that had illegal alky cookers and stuff. You know the story, don't you? And it was only to be for the enforcement of the 18th Amendment. When the 18th Amendment was repealed, the ATF should have dissolved into oblivion. But the problem with the government is they keep creating agencies and they leave them there. It's like your temporary taxes. Every tax we've got started out as a temporary one, only for the duration of the war, only for the duration of the crisis, only for a little while. And the crisis is over and the tax keeps going. Every one of them. Whoever heard of them pulling one off, you know, taking one off, repealing the tax? They'll repeal an amendment before they'll repeal a tax. Oh, it's pretty wicked out there. But see, that's where the ATF started. And what did they have a 42nd cousin relative to do with churches? Well, they burn them out sometimes. You know, they kill people. They're good at that. But these black churches, these 80 of them, why should they even be investigating it? Where are the local police? Why do you need the federal ATF in there, Department of the Treasury, trying to figure out who burned down a black church? I am convinced they're doing it because they're inciting racial tension in this country. They've done it before, and they'll do it again. Back there in the 60s, it was quite revealing, if you were watching, how these mobs in Detroit and in the Watts riot in Los Angeles, all these different big mass riots, even in Milwaukee, with old Father Grappi, of all people, marching around. But they would come down the street, and they'd be throwing rocks through buildings, through storefronts, and busting everything up. And the leader, who would be leading this mob, with this black, every so often he'd hold up his hand, black power sign, or power to the people. They'd come to a Masonic Lodge building, and he'd stop, and he'd hold his fist up like that, and nobody would touch that building. Everybody go past it, and they start in busting everything up again. It was like a little bubble of pause there. Just stop, don't touch that building. That is a sacred temple. They'd smash churches apart, but don't touch that Masonic temple. And then when the police would come in with riot gear, the National Guard, and start shooting, the leader would duck out somewhere and let these different people get shot up, and then he would go and collect money for how many dead bodies there were. That's been documented. On the university campuses, even in Oshkosh there are recruiters right now having core meetings. I've run into some. In fact, I got called in one time because the lock malfunctioned on the room where they were going to have their core meeting. And this black dude came up and says, "Hey man, why couldn't you get here sooner? We's going to have our core meeting." I said, "What do you want me to do? Dematerialize and show up? Takes me an hour to get here." Oh, I had some other choice things to say, but I didn't want to get fired at the time. They protect these people. But they're having meetings over there because I've seen it with my own eyes and I've heard it with my own ears. And they are getting ready for a rebellion. There is a racial tension building in this nation, and it's going to blow things apart. You watch. And that's not the only thing. There's going to be blood in the streets for a lot of reasons. That back in the 60s, that was just a testing ground. That was just to see how it was going to work. That's like when Generalissimo Francisco Franco was having this war in Spain before World War II broke out. That was to test all the weapons, see what was going to happen. Yeah, it's really getting interesting. Now, you talk about this one worldism stuff. See, we're not going to finish this chapter. We're almost out of time. But let's read a few more verses. People are not considering the operation of the Lord's hands. It says in verse 13, "Therefore my people are gone into captivity because they have no knowledge, and their honorable men are famished, and their multitude dried up with thirst. Therefore, hell hath enlarged herself." Had to become bigger than it was. "And opened her mouth without measure, and their glory, and their multitude, and their pomp, and he that rejoiceth shall descend into it. And the mean man shall be brought down, and the mighty man shall be humbled, and the eyes of the lofty shall be humbled. hey, payday is coming. Pretty soon. Pretty soon. You and I may not be able to bring them down, but we know the one who can and will. And through our prayers and through our efforts, that fine day will surely come. But the Lord of hosts shall be exalted in judgment, and God that is holy shall be sanctified in righteousness. Then shall the lambs feed after their manner, and the waste places of the fat ones shall strangers eat. Now it gets real, real interesting beginning with the 18th verse. And I don't have but a minute or two to really deal with it. But to show you and to illustrate to you how wicked things are. I know we don't have a lot of exposure sometimes. I was shocked the other day. On Thursday I went down to pick up some tapes down in Madison. I went for a little walk down State Street and rummaged through some old bookstores looking for rare finds, you know. And I didn't find too much in there. They've just got a lot of junk. But on the way out of one, I grabbed this little magazine called New Avenues. Did you ever see New Avenues, LaVon or Vicky? It's okay. Every page in here, every page is occult. All one world, New Age, the whole thing. And this thing looks to be about 50 pages. 50 pages, all southern Wisconsin. Here's a little section on the human-dolphin connection. Here's a little advertisement for Earth Song Bookstore, which is all New Age. Return of the Mother. That's talking about the Mother Earth situation. Renaissance Reflections. Here's a little thing. Georgia Edwards, Reiki Master and Teacher. Master Angelic Body-Mind Alignment. Full Moon Magic. There's a whole section on that. This whole thing, High Wind Books. Here's a professional at acupuncture. Just paging it, you know, every one of these things, heart and soul. Here's a little thing on the Chinese art of placement, which is another occult practice. The People's Ceremony. Native American elders will share their knowledge throughout the weekend for adults and children. They're recruiting people is what they're doing. You've got, let's see here. I'm just paging through here rather quickly. The view from here, and of course the stellar area, sun, moon, and stars. Walk Your Earth. And Oasis Center. Where you can learn about Carlos Castaneda, who was is about like Aleister Crowley. And then there's a place in the sun. Hypnosis and Wellness Training Center. See, these aren't just onesies and twosies. This stuff's all over the place. The Elves Palace. More to explore. This is in Stoughton. They feature crystals, jewelry, posters, gargoyles, if you're interested. Black lights, candles. They do have vitamins. Hempware, tarot, gems, hermetic supplies, herbal supplements, incense. They're not advertising smudge in here, though. Because they sell it, but they don't advertise it. Because smudge is that what it is. It's a form of hemp, marijuana. They wrap it up in a little bundle. The string forms a double helix around there. Then you light that, and all the smoke comes out, and you wave it around the room to cleanse the room of evil spirits while you get high. Mother Earth Festival and Retreat. It goes on and on and on. Integrating body therapy and psychotherapy. Then they have a whole bunch of small ads, all witches throughout here. Witches and practitioners. Concept connections, everything. Advanced energy healing, Atlantis in Wisconsin. The Magic Shop. That is in the East Wind Mall in Rockford, Illinois. So it covers, here's a place called Dark Star. By the way, dark star is that another name for dark star that was given for people to understand was Hotel California. The night winds are dark star. When you get in dark star, you can never come out. In Milwaukee, Hand of Glory, occult shop, dedicated to the serious practitioner of high art. There you see that eye in the middle of the palm of the hand. So this whole thing is just full of this stuff. What am I telling you? They're out there. They're everywhere on this thing. And that's the cause of that. Plus all the other things I was talking about this morning is why we're in trouble in this world. Witchcraft is everywhere. Drunkenness is everywhere. Fornication. We got Bonnie and Clyde in the White House. Huh? It's just unbelievable. So we need help. And our help is in the name of the Lord. I believe it. Let's sing a chorus here. I'm going to work and watch and pray. I'm going to serve Him every day. I'm going to see His face in glory by and by. I'm going to listen to His voice. I'm going to make His will my choice. I'm going to rise to meet Him in the morning.